This recording, Angola 2, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Pretty was a veterinarian nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an insanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Coma, Coma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Coma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered either. Her efforts were not fertile. In no time, the goose began to tire. So Sarah was able to hold on to Coma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive either, 5 or 6 times the cost of a penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much. But Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I'm an Angolan citizen. I came to South Africa in 1994. I was still a little kid. I left my parents' home in Angola. I was born and raised, obviously, my first couple years of life in Angola, and then Luanda capital, actually. And then after the Civil War, which was so intense in Angola, which I understood that was a business, you know, between the politicians and so on, my parents used to say, those politicians, when they have differences, they make people suffer. And there we couldn't access education easily, though it was for free. So things was a little bit tough for me. So I had to go on the street, coming to South Africa, no language, like English language and so on. So yeah, we battled live as a man, but I said I won't give up. I picked up my English on the street because I had to speak to survive. Cape Town feels like home to me. I learned something. A question is shorter, but I want to explain something in a sense that I learned something. I came to Cape Town, and then I started listening to people saying, that person is European, and then this is African, and this is white, and this is colored. With me, that those things have never been there. There are some white people in Angola. They are colored. There are families that all meet. And I've never what comes first to me, it's a human being, what I see. A human being, and then the next is those other kind of things. So I don't make enemies because of that person, they had their own problems. So, yeah. Apartheid ended, and if you want to hear the story, when I arrived, I lived under the bridge of Woodstock. There were my first home under that bridge. Under the bridge, if I go walk around with my bag and when I come back, use it as my pillow, I stay there. But I knew I had to stand up and look, and so that's how I left it. And then I went to stay in Bishop Levis. Bishop Levis, with the way South Africa put things and so on, they say it's a colored area. I believe that human beings that were living there, then I went there and I stayed there. That gentleman, he is a businessman. He has opened a funeral parlor. He became undertaker. But his wish, he is praying for people to die in the area at least 10 a week so that he's an honest man working. So as you work, if people are dying and they're buying the caskets and those things, and then he can pay his debts. Now the others, they were saying he must go away. He is a Satan, he's a devil, and so on. How can you come in this area wishing for people to die? You die yourself and get in those caskets yourself.
What song is that?
Yahweh Mokeli Nabi So, Yahweh Jambe Mokeli Nabi Loko Bin So, Nangu Yanaye Rakeli Likolo Solo, Nangu Yanaye Akeli Mokeli Be Bin So Bijali Nayango. It's just God, it's our creator. He created the heaven, earth, and all in it.